Philippians 3. That's where we're starting from. And I don't know if anyone, when you're reading the Bible, and particularly some of the letters that Paul's writes to the church, and I'm quite geographically quite ignorant, really. I'm the type of person you can put in a car, and I can get lost going to Morrison's in Bishop. You know, I'm that sort of person. And what I wanted to do really is I've got a map of what we're talking about. Now I realise that the map's not that big, but I've also got a laser pointer, which I think is really. So what we're talking about today is we're talking Paul's actually here in Rome, okay? And he's talking to a church in Philippi over there. Now, if you've got a mobile phone, it's fairly easy, isn't it? You just pick it up and you make a phone call. Well, obviously, during that time, they didn't have such luxuries. So they sent letters. And I just thought it's absolutely fantastic how the apostles, even though they weren't there, still communicated to the church, how God, through his Holy Spirit, used them to communicate, to encourage, to direct, to learn, to teach. So I looked at that map and I thought, you know what? I'm going to show everyone what we're talking about here. So Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul in Rome to the church in Philippi around about 63 AD. At this point, Paul probably spent a lot of time in prison and less time with the church. As time moved forwards, the church were becoming more persecuted, and there seems to be this thing that the apostles, and particularly Paul, spent a lot of time locked up, either in prison or under house arrest. So reading the letters, if anyone's read them, and I would strongly recommend you read this particular letter, that there is a sense when you read it of Paul yearning for fellowship and friendship with other believers. This particular letter is more about an expression of friendship than anything else. And as Paul is experiencing even hard times, these letters are about his desires. He's sharing these desires and what it means to be part of Christ's body. Paul effectively shares his personal goals, and actually that's what we're going to have a talk about, is Paul's personal goals. And if you read Philippians 3, there are three very clear personal goals. So here we go. So this is Philippians 3, verse 3, right through to 14. But we are the ones who are truly circumcised because we worship by the power of God's Spirit and to take pride in Christ Jesus. We don't brag about what we have done, although I could. Others may brag about themselves, but I have more reason to brag than anyone else. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, and I am from the nation of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a true Hebrew. As a Pharisee, I strictly obeyed the law of Moses, and I was so eager that even made trouble with the church. I did everything the law demands in order to please God. But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as garbage. All I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did, so that somehow I also may be raised to life. I have not yet reached my goal, and I'm not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. So it's interesting right at the beginning, Paul boasting about his heritage almost, isn't he? He's talking about putting confidence in man and self-appointed authority in the flesh, if you like. And Paul thought he was following God. He did everything that he thought he needed to do to follow God, or at least following the law. But look where that led him. He murdered Christians. He murdered believers. He was a persecutor of the followers of Jesus. And then his eyes were opened by Jesus. And he shared the gospel message. If you look at the map, we can see some of the places where the gospel message reached out. And it's interesting because as the message reached Rome, that opened the way up into Europe. Do we hold onto some of our self-appointed authority, thinking that we're following God, when in reality we're not? That was a really hard question when I read that. And that's actually not what I'm preaching about, by the way. I just felt it was something to share. So, I like to do a bit of research. And I thought, because we're talking a little bit about goals today, I wanted to find out what it really meant. So that's probably living with someone, an English teacher, sort of encourages me to read the dictionary now and then. But obviously, technology, I went to dictionary.com. It's far easier. You don't have to turn pages or anything, you know. So a goal is the result of achievement towards which effort is directed. It's an aim, it's an end. And it's apparently fairly important in football, Alan, I believe. Do you have a goal? It's New Year. You've got to have a goal. That's what everyone's telling us. Maybe your goal has always been one of these. Drink less, stop smoking, lose weight, get fit, spend less, get a job, work harder, work less, deal with stuff, become more confident, become less angry, become more generous, watch less telly, read the Bible, spend more time with family. Maybe you don't have a goal. Maybe you just respond to your circumstances as and when they happen and are not really moving forward. Maybe you don't know where you're going. Les Brown, I'm not really into motivational speakers, but he does occasionally quote some really inspiring words. And I wanted to quote this one to you. He's a sort of a business type guru person. Your goals are the roadmaps that guide you and show you what is possible in your life. So as you read the passage that I've just read out to you, I wanted to share from that Paul's three goals. So let's have a look. So Paul's goals. So goal number one. Knowing Jesus. So that's verse 8. Here Paul focused on having a deeper relationship with Jesus that deepens as the days pass. I suppose it's the opposite of wanting a deeper relationship would be something like going, la, 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 la. I don't know if anyone's ever done that. I did as a kid. If I didn't want to hear something that I didn't like, I used to stick my fingers in my ears and go, la, la, la. And that's the opposite. But Paul didn't want to do that. He wanted to have a relationship, a deeper relationship with Jesus. So not much understanding and very little communication if you're sticking your fingers in your ears. But Paul is very clear about this. He wants you to know, understand, and experience God's heart, God's intention, and apply it in relationships he has with God, but also in relationships with others. This is Paul's first goal. Number two, a right ongoing relationship with God. Having a right ongoing relationship with God. Jesus has set us free, and we were servants of sin. As Kim said earlier, we now have a blank page. We are no longer slaves to sin. But it's an ongoing relationship with God. There are some things that we do that get in the way of relationships. If you think about relationships, you know, think about the relationships you have with people in the church, relationships you have with friends, relationships that you have with your family. When something gets in the way, what happens? Difficulties occur. They put barriers in place that prevent us from having fulfilling relationships with God, but with each other as well. When we deal with these barriers, or the things that get in the way, it's like a miracle, but relationships get better, don't they? Most relationships get better, they improve. With God, when we do something wrong in our life that becomes a barrier that gets in the way of having a relationship with Him. And I just want to stress that Paul talks about an urgency here. He doesn't talk about the future. I don't know if anyone's ever done that. I've got a difficulty. I've done something wrong. I'll deal with it later. I'll put it off. I'll deal with it another time. Paul's actually talking about now. With Paul, there's an urgency to get it right with God. Not, I'll sort it out later. Paul was concerned about internal transformation now, about changing from within. God's not concerned about how good we look on the outside, you know, how wonderful things are. He's concerned with what's going on in here. If we believers are to experience a right relationship with Jesus, we need to focus in a different way. Focusing away from the do's and the don'ts approaches to the law, to the rituals, to the habits that we create. A bit like New Year's resolutions. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do that. We're talking about a change that can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit and having a right relationship with God. We're going to have a look at that in a bit. How? So that was number two, a right ongoing relationship with God. That was Paul's second goal. Paul's third goal was resurrection power. To experience this in absolute fullness. Paul in Philippians was not talking about a future resurrection to believers. Paul spoke later of that. And actually in Philippians, if you read later on, he talks about the second coming. And that comes out. He's not talking about that. What Paul is talking about is he's talking about experiencing God's resurrection power. This absolute yearning. The very power that raised Lazarus from the dead, healed the sick, fed thousands. Paul had expressed this early in Romans. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And that was in Romans 8:11. But Paul had not yet arrived at a full experience of that, and he tells us that. So the daily goal that Paul had set himself was a fuller experience of Christ's resurrection power, bringing vitality, bringing energy, power to everything in his present, everything now. Reading Paul's words, we become aware that life does have a meaning when you start focusing on Jesus. So in Christ, we are invited to know the touch of God who is always present. We are invited to a deeper relationship with Jesus, to grow and to become more like Jesus. An ongoing right relationship with God, which is not by ritual or what we are used to doing, but by his Holy Spirit as he transforms us and our lives and the people that we touch. So what goals to have? To get to know Jesus better, fantastic goal. Having an ongoing right relationship with God, experience his resurrection power in all its fullness. So how do we do that? Well, I try occasionally to be creative. I don't really hit the mark always. But I thought, you know, what about the opportunities that we already have? How many people go down to the well? Put your hands up if you go down to the well. So, you know, there's a large majority of the room. So one of the things I thought about when you're in the well, and you're probably doing this already, is talk to people about Jesus, talk to each other about him. You know, what have you learnt today about him when you've read the Bible or when you've talked to somebody else? What is Jesus doing in your lives? Share it with people. What does a particular Bible verse mean to you? I don't know if anyone's ever done that. I read a lot of the Bible and I think, oh, I don't know what that means. So I'll go and ask someone. And then I'll ask somebody else. And sometimes you get different opinions, and that's great, because that's about learning. Jesus talks to us about having a curious mind, about having a child's mind and eyes, to be really excited. I don't know, on Christmas Day morning, for those who have spent time with kids, and when the kids are opening the presents and you see that excitement, that's an excitement that Jesus wants us to have, to discover him, to learn about him, to be excited about it. If you haven't attended an Alpha course, have a chat with one of the leaders. Go on an Alpha course. If you shout really loudly over coffee, I'm sure somebody who's been on the Alpha course will come and have a chat with you about this. Do you go to house group? You know, maybe that's a possibility for some people, to go to a house group. Now, if the house groups that are running aren't suitable for you, go and have a chat with one of the leaders and see what we can do. Try and work things around. Go and see one of the house group leaders. Go and have a chat with them. Go and, if you've got time, go and pop and see them. Go and join in. Even if it's just a one-off and you think, do you know what? That group's not for me. There's loads of other groups you can go and have a look at. You could even go to a different group each week and you never actually need to stay in the same group ever. You could go to different ones and that's absolutely fine. If you think, oh, do you know what? I don't like them today. I'll go somewhere else. Explore the Bible. There are so many different ways for you to explore the Bible. There's devotionals. I mean, if anyone's into technology, there's YouVersion, there's Bible Gateway, there's all kinds of devotionals you can look at. Word Live by Scripture Union, they do audio devotionals, so you can just listen to them. Go and have a chat with Richard. I'm sure Richard won't mind me doing that. He's got absolutely loads of knowledge about different study plans that you can talk about. The church will be starting a new Bible plan very soon, so there's that opportunity as well. And then I thought about some of the challenges that we could really challenge each other. And I got a little bit frightened by this, so because I don't want to do it, that's why. You could set up a prayer partnership, couldn't you? You could find someone in this church and go and arrange to pray with them. You don't have to do it every week or every day or anything like that, once a month, once every 2 months, where you pray together, just literally pray to God and open yourself up to him. And if you wanted to take it further, you could even challenge each other. You could set up challenges with each other. Or maybe you're struggling and you want some support. You could maybe find a mentor. I have a mentor who helps me through stuff. I do their head in. I won't mention who it is, but I do their head in sometimes, you know. I know I do. But it is important to have guidance, and there's loads of people in the church. Have a chat with the leadership who would happily help and support. Have a mentor. If it worked for the disciples, it could work for us. Maybe, here's a question. Maybe you haven't made a commitment yet, and you're ready to today. Maybe today is the time to make a commitment. Please don't do it on your own. Go and speak with somebody. Pray with them. So, that's getting to know God. There's some suggestions. I'm sure you guys can think of far better ones. Having an ongoing right relationship with Jesus. It's that word. It's a really challenging word. It's called repentance. And it means to turn away from what we have done wrong. Turn 180 degrees. Literally to change your mind. Ask God for forgiveness, for his help. I don't know if anyone's ever done this, but you know when you're struggling and you go and ask a close friend and you say, can I have some help? I'm pretty certain they're not going to turn you away. I'm pretty certain on that one. Ask God for help. Ask for the Holy Spirit to help you and receive him. Now, at the end of the service this morning, if you would like somebody to pray with you, if there is something that you've got on your mind and you want to let go of it and you want to release yourself from it, then please ask someone to pray with you. The final one is experiencing his resurrection power. Now, I'm always conscious about this. I don't know if... Does anyone watch a lot of superhero films? There seems to be, like, loads of them out at the moment. You know, Batman is coming out. Batman and Superman. I'm not sure how that one's going to work. I'm sure, Craig, you'll have an opinion on that one. You know, we're not talking about some kind of made-up story of Spider-Man climbing walls. We are talking about a power that only God can give us, that we can access, a life-changing, a healing power. And not just here, wherever we are. Now, I thought, well, what practical things could we do to experience that? Now, I don't know about you, but when I face a challenge, if I'm honest, I don't pray to God always. I just jump in. Pray for him. Ask for this power. The Bible tells us we have access to it. If you're a believer, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have access to this resurrection power. So ask for it. So, I'm not sure what goals you've got for this year. But I want to throw a challenge out to you guys that you'd consider one, two, or three of these for this year. know Jesus better. Know him deeper. Have a right ongoing relationship with God. And do everything that you possibly can to do that. Experience his resurrection power. Remember Paul? Paul is pushing. He's wanting to experience it. He knows he's not fully experiencing it. He wants to push it further. So as we focus on these goals, our lives will be changed. They will be. And we will move further forward, being more like Jesus. We will. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.